and opinions expressed on this show or any other show on Hronko Radio Network are not necessarily those reflective of Hronko Radio owners, affiliates, or local sponsors. Any hurt feelings and mixed emotions infringing upon the PC movement should be referred to Hronko's Human Services Department, which can be reached at blah, 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 to which time you will be told to shut it. On behalf of Hronko Radio Network, I would like to take this time now to thank you from the bottom of our blackened souls. Thank you!
Ah, it is so good to see you again, sir. I see you have brought your friends with you this time. Very good, sir. Would you like your usual table? Right this way then, sir. Please follow me.
Who are we kidding? We're not that stuffy.
I knew I was being threatened. Do you think it's worth holding out? I mean, I've heard some pretty ugly things about those guys. Ugly stories. Watch them
free. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Politics Cafe, where we sit down and discuss anything and everything. No holds barred. Bring any topic to the table. We don't care. We'll discuss it. Come on in. Sit down. Take a load off. Now, the host of the show, Mark.
All right. Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and fellow conversationalists around the world, and welcome once again to the Politics Cafe at www.hernco.com, the best in Internet talk radio. The Politics Cafe is a small cafe located on an isolated stretch of the information superhighway, where we get together once a week and grill up some fresh topics for your digestion. Oh, topics aplenty we have this week. Folks, we had an historic night last night. Congress, the House of Representatives sat up half the night, made sure that they rammed home this Senate version of the health care bill. All the dirty dealing, all the backroom politics, all the craziness that reigns supreme out there. Democrats basically telling everyone that the insurance companies are about to get reformed. They're not going to be allowed to commit any more of their abuses. Well, here it is, baby. They got it. Now, of course, you and I all know better than that. We've been listening for quite some time here. Of course, these insurance companies aren't going to be making these abuses anymore. Now, keep your eye on this. Take a good look at the bill. You know, those of us that have read the bill out there will tell you as we understand it to be. What is changing here, folks, and make no mistake about it, will be the way insurance companies do business. Prior to today, the insurance companies had to go out in the marketplace. They had to advertise. They had to sell. They had to do what they had to do to gain people to come into their programs. They had to form products, insurance products for people to buy, and go for it. You know, go out there and compete against other insurance companies in the marketplace, and may the best man win. Well, those days are long gone, folks. You know, this is over now. We don't have to worry about that. These insurance companies are not going to get involved with any of that anymore. No need for it. Now, there will be some advertising coming down the road here, and a lot of it having to do with the qualified health benefit providers. The ones that, you know who I've been talking about here, all those fine insurance companies that donated very heavily to all the Democratic campaigns, to the Democratic National Convention, and everyone else. And, laid it on the line, said, here you go, fellas. You know, we want a lockup on this. We need a monopoly, and you're going to give it to us. In return, we're going to see to it that you guys get elected. Here's all the money you could possibly need. Well, that's exactly what was going on here, you know, just a brief cap of my take on all of this. There are certain insurance companies, four or five of the biggest insurance companies out there, basically getting the government to sanction them and only them. You know, they're going to put them into the health insurance exchange. They will be the ones that will be allowed to continue moving on and doing business under the government plans. And of course, as long as they adopt the government plans, and part of this is going to be that they will have to take on anyone, pre-existing conditions notwithstanding, whether or not they can even pay for it notwithstanding, you know, anybody out there that isn't going to be able to pay for it, the government will be subsidizing this. And of course the government will find a way to raise the money to do this subsidization. you know, from taxes, what have you. Lots of different things down the line, you know, increases on the Cadillac healthcare plans, which the unions out there, who were the ones, most of the ones out there who had the Cadillac healthcare plans, are sliding out of. They don't have to worry about that. You know, the deals with the union buddies to help them get elected had to be honored, and of course they were honored. But even more, you know. Now I've heard a lot of people, a lot of my right wing friends out there telling me, a lot of conservatives thinking that this is the Democratic Party has just sunk themselves. Basically just went against 70% of the American people out there that did not want this bill. There are now currently 37 or 38, I guess the number's a little bit in dispute, but different states out there preparing lawsuits that will hit the Supreme Court immediately after Mr. Obama signs this bill because they're really upset with this mandate. The mandate that everyone gets into the health insurance system. You either get in and pay for it or be fined. Employers are going to have to get in and pay for this or be fined. Now, from what I understand, the fine for employers is only going to be $2,000, since most employers out there are currently paying anywhere from $6,000 to $10,000 for health insurance for each of their employees. That $2,000 is going to be a welcome benefit. I had heard some folks out there talking today about how the better employers are going to take, you know, some of that $10,000 that they will be saving and just, you know, give you a raise. You know, they'll pay the $2,000 fine or whatever the stipend is to the government, whatever it is they call it, and give you another $3,000 and tell you to go out and buy your own. Well, I'm here to tell you something, folks. I think the Democrats are going to manage to get themselves reelected again this year. Everybody need to think about a few things right up front. I want you to think about, Mr. Net, hear me out here, and I will definitely turn the mic over to you. Got a good room here tonight, folks. It's remember the TARP bill. I want you to stop and think about this. How we needed to have $787 billion to bail out the financial industry. And then right on the heels of that, after the election and after Mr. Obama got elected, we got ourselves another bill that came down and bailout, the Americans Economic Recovery Act, which, you know, another $800 billion, which was basically taken out. I want you to remember that not all of that money was ever spent. As a matter of fact, with the TARP bill, I believe there was no more than about a third of it spent. And with the Economic Recovery Act, which we had all called the, basically it was a slush fund. You know, it was the pork bill, the porculous bill. Basically, you didn't have to worry about any pork riders coming on down with any bills coming in the future because the pork was already set up. That's really what it was all about. That money was just set aside there, so hey, no reason to put any pork along with a bill. But about a quarter of that, from what I understand, has ever been spent. The rest of it's still sitting in reserve. Now, don't forget, let's take a few things into account here. These insurance companies were looking to monopolize the situation. The ones that will become the qualified health benefit providers, the ones who will be standing and will be assigned by the government as having lawful status for them to operate and for their sanction and to have people directed to them from the health insurance exchange. Also the people who will be subsidized, and also the companies who will be there even if they suffer a loss over the years, because them losses will be funded by the government. Makes no difference there. They can do whatever they want. They can take their bureaucratic paychecks and do whatever the hell they please with them. Doesn't matter what the company does. The company loses money as long as they have become one of these sanctioned phases. Well, hey, that's the way it's got to go. Basically, what they're doing here is trying to monopolize the market. Now, of course, if you're going to monopolize a market, you've got to have the government's help. You can't do it without them. All right, if the government stays out of the way, competition is going to come along and make you take a run for your money, and you're going to have to compete with everyone else. Well, they're going to eliminate this competition. Guarantee you that. And I'm telling you right now, a few steps that they're going to take to eliminate this competition and to get themselves reelected again in the fall. And this is the important part here. This is the part you got to stop and think about. Don't forget what I'm talking about, this extra money that's sitting around out there. right? They're not going to have to tell you where this extra money is going. But they're going to start signing people up for health insurance right away. The IRS hiring 16, 17,000 new people to help collect on this. And yes, the IRS will be the enforcer of making sure that you get health insurance. You are going to see, and I promise you this, these qualified health benefit companies coming down the road, basically breaking every antitrust law that was ever written. They're going to be offering insurance at prices that you will not be able to get anywhere in the private community. Nowhere at all. They are going to move people into this thing in a hard way. We're all looking out there. What are we talking about? $10,000 a year? Say your plan costs you $5,000 a year. It's roughly $500 a month or $125 a week out of your paycheck for you and your family. Now, stop and think about this. Suppose these insurance companies come along and tell you, well, we don't have to charge you all that, you know. We are one of the government-sanctioned entities here, and we're going to be able to present this to you for $40 a week or $30 a week. Now, of course, this is not going to reflect the real cost of it all. But in order for them to maintain or to gather the control of the market, to get that monopoly cooking up here, that TARP money and whatnot will be used to subsidize a lot of people. From what I understand, if you're making $50,000 a year and you have a family of four, your typical family, you know, you, your wife, 2.2 children, you will, you know, you're not going to end up having to pay anything. You will actually qualify to have your health care subsidized. Where do you think those subsidies are going to come from? They will not be raising taxes right away. Those subsidies are going to come directly from the leftover funds from TARP and the Porculus bill. Make no mistake about it. And through this function, what you are going to see coming down over the rest of this summer is a lot of people getting health insurance. A lot of people finding out that all of a sudden health insurance is going to be easy to get. It's going to be cheap. It's going to be affordable. Everybody's going to be able to get their hands on it. It's going to be a no-brainer, a no-problem kind of thing. Employers are going to take a look at what's coming down the road here. They're going to see that the private company that they've been with in the past is charging them whatever. Now they're going to be able to buy it through one of these sanctioned insurance companies, and they're going to be paying a fraction of what they were paying before. Everybody will be jumping up and down about this, folks. And I'm telling you right now that you will hear nothing but good things about this insurance system from now until November. Now, this is going to go on, and I guarantee it's going to continue for another year or two. And this is going to continue until you see all of the private health insurance companies who have to deal in a real world, who have to look at the real costs of things, end up having to getting subsidized for all of it. You're just going to see the real companies out there, like I say, the ones that are dealing in the real world, end up having basically going out of business. They're going to be priced out. There's no way in hell are they going to be able to compete with the insurance companies that have become qualified health benefit providers. But once all of them are out of the way, and once all the rest of the TARP money and everything else has been used up, and there are no other private health insurance companies to go to, that's when the shit will hit the proverbial fan. That's when it's going to come down, and they're going to look at you, and they're going to say, geez, you know, we're not going to be able to cover this anymore. This is unsustainable. We're going to have to raise these premiums, or we're going to have to raise taxes. Somebody somewhere is going to end up having to pay the bill. Not to mention paying the interest on the money we've already borrowed that is just sitting there, that will be used to subsidize all of these insurance companies' activities until such time as they're the only ones left standing. It's a no-brainer, folks. You really got to sit down and take a look at this, but this is where they are headed. They wanted a monopoly. This is how a monopoly will be formed. All right? You got the IRS as your enforcing agent. There you have it. You know, stop and think about all this, folks. It's there. You know, and it's, and I believe personally that this is just going to be the beginning, because once they've got themselves instituted as the healthcare system, and you will probably see minor changes coming along the lines, minor changes in the names of these, you know, minor changes in the names of the providers, until it all comes falling in under one roof, you know, which will basically be government-run healthcare. But even then, that will not be the end game. Because I'm going to tell you something else. There's a premise at work out there, and the liberals are pushing this premise very, very hard. And it's called the premise of responsibility. Alright, what they're basically saying out there at this point in time is that every one of us is responsible for everyone else. That we, as a society, in order to be a moral society, must take care of people. We're going to have to do that. We're not going to be allowed to go any other way. You are going to have to come on and just say, hey, you know, look, folks, you know, if you are out there and engaged in some dangerous activity, you are acting irresponsibly towards everyone else who is responsible for you. Stop and think about the heinous nature of this underlying premise. Sounds good on the face of it. Everybody's responsible for everyone else. You know, we are all responsible for society. Society is responsible for us. It's a give and take sort of thing. This is what they tell you all the time. I've already had liberals out there talking to me. Geez, Mark, are you still smoking? You know? God, geez, it's not really good for you. Boy, it's really bad for your health. But, you know, we're all going to end up having to pay for your smoking if you don't cut it out. And that, my friends, is the premise that will be used to start the control of your life. And I'm here to tell you, smoking is going to be number one. Because once we are all deemed responsible, once it is accepted by the general populace, by the voters out there, that we are all responsible for each other, once everyone is having to pay those health care premiums spread out as far and wide as they possibly can, so everyone is forced into paying for it, it will become a realization that, yes, indeed, we are responsible for each other. And we owe it to each other to keep those costs down. Well, the only way you're going to keep those costs down is by curbing your activities. Smoking going to be the first one, I promise you, followed right on its heels by alcohol. Now, of course, they're not going to be able to turn alcohol down, probably won't be able to outlaw tobacco, but how are they going to be able to regulate this? Well, you show up at the doctor's office, you got a problem that's a smoking-related thing, that doctor's going to turn around and tell you, we can't cover you. You have engaged in a dangerous activity. You have exempted yourself from the system. Ditto for alcohol. Once the costs keep getting higher, and costs and things will keep getting higher because they've done nothing about the monetary system. They've done nothing about inflation. They're doing nothing but pumping more and more money into the system. The hyperinflation, which is coming, is still a little ways off. It's actually working its way in here. Of course, everybody out there is buying gasoline and groceries knows this. But the fact of the matter is, coming down the line, folks, the control factor will have to be instituted. It must be controlled. After alcohol and after tobacco, well, then what are you going to look at from there? Well, dangerous activities, of course. What are the dangerous activities? Yeah, well, football, that's a dangerous activity. How many people get ruined for life from football? Have to go through thousands and thousands of dollars of surgery. Are we going to have to curb football? Or will they tell people who have football, who are playing football, that no, you can't? Going to have to pay 10 times as much as insurance? Are they going to raise their premiums for this? What about driving your car? Car accidents. What is it, 50,000 people get killed every year on America's highways? It doesn't say anything about how many people just get injured out there. We all know people who have spent time in the hospital, lengthy stays after car accidents, costing, you know, thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars for their car accidents. So, hey, how are they going to be able to curb that? Are you going to have to pay triple for your car insurance in order to have the health insurance necessary to go along with it just in case an accident happens? Or will it be much cheaper for you to take the public transportation? Would it be much wiser for you to take public transportation? I'm here to tell you, folks, that we have a very heinous underlying premise here. And it's all based on this whole underlying premise of is responsible for who? Now let's face it, you're not responsible for yourself anymore. We are all victims. We are all victims of advertising. We are all victims of the economy. We are all victims of corporations. We are all victims of the media, victims of the right-wing media. We are all victims of Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck and Mark Levin and a host of others. You know? So we're not really responsible for what goes on there, are we now? Oh, hell no. You're not responsible for that. You're a victim. We're all victims, but once you become a victim, hey, everybody else is responsible to take care of you now, aren't they? Yeah, I tell you what, folks, what you see coming down the road here over the next few years is going to be heinous. But I'm here to tell you that between now and November, things are going to look rosy. Insurance is going to get much cheaper for everyone. No one is going to be turned down, okay? Private insurance companies out there that have not become health benefit providers, the qualified health benefit providers, it's not going to have a problem with them. You're going to see that you get everything paid for. Paperwork's going to be real easy. You're going to walk into a doctor's office, the doctor's going to ask you, your receptionist's going to say, hey, do you have insurance? No. Well, how much do you make each year? Well, I make $42,000. Oh, well, don't worry about a thing. What's your name? What's your address? What's your social security number? And what is your date of birth? Okay, now give me one more minute. I just got to fill this. Okay, this is the doctor. Okay, click. Okay, you're all set. You now have insurance. What can the doctor see you about today? That's how easy it's going to be, folks. I guarantee it. They are going to set up a system that is going to make it so simple and so cheap that no one is going to be able to resist getting along with this system. And come November, when it's time for the Democrats to get reelected, they're going to have one of the rosiest healthcare systems in place that you have ever seen in your life. And you do not have to worry about the costs from it. All right? Because once the system is really in play, let's face it, it's going to cost tons and tons of money. But that money's already been set aside, folks. There's money left over from the TARP program. There is money left over from the economic bailout, from the Porculus bill. There will be other money coming down the road. I got some more stuff in here to talk about tonight. It's just going to be, we'll see. You are going to see, but I'm here to tell you folks, that in order for us to take back America this November, we have got our work cut out for us. Because the Democrats have just positioned themselves in a manner, and they have the money behind them in a manner, to get themselves reelected. They are going to ride on this. We are already seeing in the news all of the jumping up and down, all of the patting each other on the back. Obama shouting from the balcony that we have done it, that we have got it all. Obama's now got political capital to spend right out the wazoo, baby. You name it. Does he care what happens from here on out as far as health care? Hell no. He knows Congress will take it. Congress will take this in stride. They've been working hand in hand with these insurance companies for some time now. Now, I tell you a couple things that you're not going to hear. You're not going to hear any corporate welfare. No, none of that whatsoever. You will not hear the Democrats crying corporate welfare, despite the fact that that's exactly what will be going on here with the qualified health benefit providers. You're not going to hear anything about the spending, because the spending is necessary, isn't it? This is people's health after all. You care about people, don't you? Or just, you don't want to help people. Is that what it is? Okay, you're just one of the mean-ass Republicans that doesn't want to help people. Oh yeah, there's going to be all kinds of stuff coming down the line here, folks. But I'm here to tell you, these Democrats are going to get themselves reelected unless we get on the ball and really do something about it. One of my buddies here in the room, Gary, was mentioning before about how here up in Massachusetts, we had just elected Scott Brown. And Scott Brown was elected by the moderates, so to speak. Scott Brown was elected by the independents. Let me remind you once again that the independents outnumber not only the Republicans and the Democrats, but it outnumbers the Republicans and Democrats put together. All right, and I'm here to tell you folks that when it comes time to vote this November, all people are going to be thinking. They don't read the news. A few of them listen to this show, and a few people listen to other shows that are going on out there. There's a few people who are informed. But the people who are informed on this here are not in the majority. The majority out there is uninformed in politics and only gets involved in politics when it directly hits their pocket. And what is going to directly hit their pocket coming between here and November will be savings, will be extra money into their pocket, will be savings on their health insurance premiums, will be a whole lot less hassles from the insurance companies that are positioned to become the qualified health benefit providers. Okay? You will see this coming, folks. I'm here to tell you. And they do not care what it is going to cost. Once again, I'm here to tell you that all that extra TARP money that's left over from out there is going to be used to fund any discrepancies. It will be shoveled right out the back door and right into these insurance companies' pockets, and nobody's going to know a damn thing about it. I promise you. Yeah, that's the hard part about this, Mr. Flute. There is no high ground for the Republicans. Where do they go? What have they got to fight on here now? Somebody was talking a little bit about cap and trade in here before. Matter of fact, I have an article on cap and trade here, somewhere in a stack of stuff. It's, let me see, I know I got it here. No, this is my overseas mess right here. What do we got down here? I know I had something. I had it at any rate. I know it's going to pull up here. But it's, there's going to be, here we go. There we go. Now, this is the next one coming down the road here. While they're going on with this, okay, and they got just the right slobs to move this one here and grab a lot of attention. You know, the rest of the healthcare is going to be going on behind the scenes, okay, because they've got the bill passed. Now it's time to distract your attention into other directions. All right, this one here tonight is by Lisa Lehrer, and it is down off of the Politico.com. Folks, as always, all articles read on this show are for entertainment, discussion, and, hey, it's for my purposes out here, folks. I ain't making a buck on this, so don't anybody even try to think about suing me for it. All right, disagreement among Senate Democrats is slowing progress on the climate bill, even as supporters push to move forward with a proposal this week. Senators John Curry, of Democrat of Mass, Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, and Joe Lieberman, independent from Connecticut, have been working overtime to move a draft of their climate bill forward before the Senate leaves for recess at the end of the week. But at the same time, Energy and Natural Resources Committee Chairman Jeff Bingaman and Democratic Policy Committee Chair Byron Dorgan have been fiercely lobbying Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid to take up the energy-only bill approved by the Energy Committee last June. The two met with Reid last week to argue for their legislation, which includes no cap on greenhouse gas emissions. On Monday, Reid said no decisions have been made on how to move forward. I've got lots of options on energy, and I'm going to try to work it through with Bingaman and Curry, said Reid. His comment comes as Graham continues to cast doubt on the ability of the Senate to pass a bipartisan climate bill in the aftermath of the contentious battle over health care reform. I'm still committed to trying to roll out a vision of how to price carbon and make it business friendly, he said on Monday. But the truth of the matter is you are going to find most of our colleagues here risk averse. Over the past week, Graham has repeatedly warned that health care could poison the well for bipartisan work on other large initiatives. If health care blows the place up, it's going to be hard to do anything, he said last week. Now, immediately after health care passed the House on Sunday night, Graham fired off a statement blasting the process to move the legislation as sleazy. As Graham questions the bill, Curry is mounting a fresh push in a major climate change bill. In the wake of healthcare's passage, we have a strong case to make that this can be the next breakthrough legislative fight, said Curry. 22 Senate Democrats sent a letter on Friday urging Reid to take up a bipartisan and comprehensive clean energy and climate legislation this year. Signatories included several coal state Democrats who had previously raised a number of concerns about the bill. Curry, Graham, and Lieberman are expected to send their revamped climate proposal to the Environmental Protection Agency this week, kicking off the weeks-long economic modeling process the bill must undergo before coming to the Senate floor. Their legislation foregoes the economy-wide cap on greenhouse gas emissions in favor of an approach that puts different pollution limits on different sectors of the economy. It adopts a proposal backed by several large oil companies to impose a carbon tax on gasoline that would be passed along to consumers at the pump. There you have it. And it includes several traditionally Republican energy proposals like expanding nuclear power and offshore drilling. Unlike healthcare, we start out with a bipartisan issue where a progressive senator from Massachusetts and a conservative from South Carolina have already struck an alliance, said Curry. Well, who's calling Lindsey Graham a conservative? An unlikely odd couple of stakeholders want to see our effort go forward and recognize that it's now or never. Well, it's also now or never at the bottom of the hour here, folks, and I got to take a short break. It's time for you to take a walk over to www.hernco.com. Take a look through the gift section over there. Have a fun time. See what's happening. Spring is rolling around the corner. Hey, lots of things could be happening. But, folks, we'll be right back. You are listening to the Politics Cafe at www.hernco.com, the best in Internet talk radio. We'll be right back.
Dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood. Hi-ya! Concrete. Hi-ya! Brick walls. Hi-ya! Trees. Hi-ya! small cars. It can even chomp through these 8 guitars. It chomps things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit InventNow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
All right. Can everybody take their seats and settle down, please? Hey, come on, guys. We got a lot of work to get through today, okay? Now, let's start with some word problems. Okay, let's see. This question is for Jacob. Jacob, let's say you work 25 hours a week after school at the deli, earning $8 an hour. Sally works 30 hours a week at the movie theater, earning Y dollars an hour. And Sean works 40 hours a week at the auto shop, earning X dollars an hour. Then how are you going to drive your mother to her dialysis treatments every day and still find time to finish your science project this week?
Some students are tackling more than just their schoolwork, which is why more than 30% of them aren't graduating. But you can give them the boost they need to make it through by visiting boostup.org.
All right, listen up, class. This next question is for Susan. If you pick 27 apples and you give away 30%, how many apples will you...
Visit boostup.org today. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through.
Do your part by going to boostup.org and giving a student the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
And we're back. You're listening to the Politics Cafe at www.herncode.com, the best in internet talk radio. Sorry about the little bit of a delay there, folks. Brains are still a little bit scattered. But it happens to the best of us. What can I say? You know, when you're having fun, sometimes you just ain't paying attention now, are you? But we just had a question brought up here by one of my astute friends, Mr. Fluke from Australia, who says... says that this is that the 16,000 IRS agents are speculation on the part of House or Senate Republicans. I'm here to tell you that it's definitely in there that the IRS is going to do this. That was in both of the original House versions of the bill. Now the Senate version that has passed here, I believe, is from what I understand, it's got it in there. But maybe I'm wrong. At any rate, they're going to have to find a way to do it. And who's better than the IRS? The IRS can find everybody. Nobody hides from the IRS. You know, unless you were dealing strictly in cash, even as far as like your rent and everything else, and using a pseudonym, and you're not going anywhere. Yeah, you really aren't. You will not get away from the IRS. And should you decide to get yourself involved in the political process and register to vote wherever you're at, promise me the IRS will find you immediately. That voting, the registration for voting is their number one tool for finding you and for looking into you. Anybody who is registered to vote that hasn't been registered for a long time, immediately looked at. I've got personal experience here. Watched it happen to my wife back in the year 1992 when Slick Willie Lick Clinton got elected. Wife, who is a lifelong Democrat, from a long family of Democrats, signed right up. She hadn't been registered to vote since we moved up here from Philadelphia in 1983. And when we hit this place, and she registered, well, we hit here, I registered right away. Politically active guy, what can I tell you? Wife didn't bother. Wife waited until Clinton came along. She went and registered to vote. And within a week, we got a notice from the IRS office down in Philadelphia wanting to know where all of our IRS tax returns have been since 1983. And it's like, we didn't see any down there. So we just wrote them a kind letter back, said we've been mailing them to the Amherst, Massachusetts office, which is the district that we live in now. And figured that would be the end of it. Well, it really was not the end of it. We had to jump through hoops that you could not imagine before we could convince the IRS that we had been paying in Massachusetts and sending our reserves up here. And the hoops we had to jump through, including having our bank accounts cleaned out by the IRS. Oh, yeah, baby. Yeah, yeah, don't kid yourself. These are people who kick ass first, take names later. It's just the way they work. They're a very brutal agency. They're a very tyrannical agency, which, you know, necessary. I mean, if you're going to collect taxes, you've got to have it out there. Let's face it. I mean, how the hell would they ever collect taxes if they didn't have the power of force behind them? I mean, let's face it. What would everybody do? Well, what are you going to do with somebody who just says, no, I don't want to pay those taxes? Well, you got to be able to execute some sort of force against this person. To either make him pay those taxes or to whack him with penalties, to make an example out of him to everyone else. And don't forget, when it comes down to certain things, there's no difference between the government and any mob out there. They're running a protection racket. It's the way it is. Okay? For your protection, you will pay. Now there are levels of protection that we know we need and we're willing to pay for. When we set this country up and we wrote the Constitution of this country, we pretty much outlined exactly which what it was we were expecting to get protection from and pretty much how we were going to pay for it. Now, fact of the matter is, this has been so perverted, especially over the last 100 years, that people don't know which way they're coming and going. And, of course, a lot of this has been perverted along the lines of premises that have been shoved down people's throats. You know, the premise that we are all responsible for one another. The premise that since we're all stuck here together, that there are certain ways we must be made to take care of each other. You know, tons of things. I mean, this is, you know, nothing new here. And you've seen it all coming down the road. You've seen Social Security. You've seen all the various institutions that have come down the road. You've seen what they have been doing with health care since 1964. We've seen, you know, what they've done with the banking system as far as socializing that since 1973. You know, let's face it. It's nothing but abuses of power. And who is it that backs up these abuses, my friends? Well, the IRS. They're there, you know. It's pretty funny. Now, Mr. Flute, you have just mentioned something very interesting in the room here. Tell you what, let me throw you the mic, my friend, and let me get in and hear your take on this. What you're saying here is that there's a debate going on in Australia over who should manage the hospitals, the federal or the state. Well, tell me something. How's it going? Where do you stand on it?
The debate is reasonably new. There's actually a stand-up Stoush type debate on television as we speak between Tony Abbott, the opposition leader and the Conservative in Australia, and Kevin Rudd, the Labor Prime Minister. And look, I am a bit. I believe that they should stay in state hands. Which is the Conservative perspective, mainly because the health departments in these states are funded fairly well. It's just the management of these hospitals and how they're run. Like, a lot of money can go into a hospital and not be aimed at patient care. We have 6 states and 2 territories in Australia. Interestingly, my sister is the personnel director at one of Australia's biggest hospitals. She has 3,000 non-medical staff that she looks after, you know, all the cleaners and all that sort of stuff. So over the past 10 years, she has leased the car parks out, built a commercial laundry which competes for commercial businesses with other hospitals and hotels, motels and things like that. She's very entrepreneurial. It would seem funny that we're having a parallel debate with Australia and the United States. It looks like, you know, they run one of those little lines, popularity lines. Now, I don't know how they determine, but it looks like Kevin Rudd, who spoke first, is probably doing better than Tony Abbott. who's going to be a remarkable Prime Minister if he gets there. I'll hand it back to our host now.
All right, thanks. Well, all right, I can understand why the states would want to do this, you know, because I look at it this way, you know. Yeah, we need health insurance reform. But let's face it, the reason that we have such screwed up health insurance problems in this country is because the states got involved in it a long, long, long time ago. All right, you know, the insurance companies went in and lobbied the state governments for different mandates. You know, like if you go out to Iowa, you can buy, in Iowa, you can get decent health insurance for under $100 a month for your family of four. You know, now it's not going to cover everything, but if you get sick and you're in the hospital, you're not going to lose your house. You know, you're going to get paid for it. You need an operation, you come down with cancer, you know, any of a multitude of things that could happen to you are covered. You know, you might pay a little more for sports injuries and what have you, but that's it. But now, to get basic coverage in a state like New Jersey, you're talking $7,500 a year. And it's because of the state mandates. You can't buy just the insurance that you believe you and your family are going to need. You've got to buy insurance for alcohol rehabilitation. You've got to buy insurance that's going to cover drug rehabilitation. You've got to buy insurance that's going to cover psychiatric help. And a host of other things you might not want to have to pay for. You know, see, $200 a month, you know, that works out to $2,400 a year. Now, I don't know whether you think that's high or not, you know, but the fact of the matter is, if your state decides to do something crazier there, you know, and double that, you know, go up to $400 a month or $500 a month, well, you got the option of getting up and moving to another state, which is what we've always had here. You know, you don't like what's going on? Beat it. You know, I mean, with taxes and things like this get too high, well, it's, you know, time to move on. You know, witness the case in Maryland. This doesn't really have anything to do with health insurance, but Maryland raised its taxes on millionaires, trying to bump up the amount of people that were, you know, the amount of money they were taking in their coffers because they were running short. Well, a year later, they find out that the amount of millionaires was cut in half. It was gone because half of the millionaires from the state of Maryland got up and fled the state, sold everything they had, and moved elsewhere. You know, now who could blame them? They're going to go somewhere else. You know, a lot of people call the state that I live in Massachusetts, you know, they used to call it Taxachusetts. And a lot of people still do, actually, because there's taxes on every little damn thing, and they refuse to lump them together. That's the thing that kills me up here. So you get a different tax bill every other month up here. You know, you get a garage tax for your car, your excise taxes, you know. Then you get your sewer bill. Then you get this, you get that. You know, it's like, you know, down in Philadelphia, you pay, you know, your sewer bill, your trash bill, everything else comes right out of your city wage taxes down there. Comes right out of the city wage tax and or the real estate taxes that you're going to pay. You know, that's it. Bang, stop, end of situation. Up here, you pay those real estate taxes, but they, you know what I mean? That's just the beginning. The real estate taxes basically go for the school and most of the town functions. But then when it comes to the sewer system, now you're going to pay another one for that. Comes to the water system, you're going to pay another one for that. They went around here 10 years ago and put meters on everybody. Before that, didn't matter. You know what I mean? Everybody was just, you know, the water bill was paid out of your real estate taxes. You know, there was enough money in the real estate taxes to run the water company and basically give everybody in town water. You know, and then they made it a law, of course, that if you were living in town, you had to have town water. You know, now I'd still live out in the country here. It would be no problem for me to sink a point out in my backyard and get all the water I want. I would only have to go down 12, 15 feet, and I'm fine. Matter of fact, I could go out there and dig a 15-foot well and have all the water I could possibly need. My property that's a little ways down below here, which is 10 miles south of here, that's exactly what I do have, is a dug well. And no problem, I got water. The water table's down, I think it's 14 feet. And below that, my well is dug down another 8 feet. So I've got a 3-foot wide hole with all the water you need in it. It's a beautiful thing. And I don't have to pay anybody for it. It's mine. It's on my property. Yeah, it is better water, too. Well, I don't complain. I'm going to be honest with you. The town water that comes from up here comes out of basically the same sort of wells And there's one river that they pump it out of that is it's a limestone stream, and it's clear as a bell. And it's really, really good water. You could walk up to the stream and drink out of it. There's no pollution in it whatsoever. It's really, really nice. And I have no complaints with the town water here. Matter of fact, my wife buys bottled water all the time because she trusts it. But I got water pumping through a filter on my refrigerator, and I love it. You know, I have no problem. I drink it all the time. But point of the matter that I'm trying to get to here is that, you know, even though they call this Taxachusetts, I can go 15 miles west of here into New York State and show you what taxes really look like, okay? Now, we pay a 5% or a 6% sales tax here. Just went up a couple years ago from 5 to 6%. Over there, they're paying 8%. I pay roughly I'm up to about $2,100 a year on real estate taxes. All right, but those real estates cover, that real estate taxes covers the school, and it covers most of the town functions. Over in New York State, you get the same size house, it's valued at about the same thing, your property, you will pay roughly $2,000 to $2,500 for your real estate taxes. But on top of that, you will pay another $3,500 to $5,000 in what they call a school tax. So it's kind of like, yo, Harry, you know, all of a sudden you turn around and you start looking at the taxes over in New York State, and Taxachusetts doesn't look so bad. It don't look so bad at all. But that's the nice part about it is that, look, you don't like one state, you can move to another. And I think that the same thing should work out in health insurance. Look, it was the states that got us into this mess, and it should be the states that are allowed to get us back out of this mess. You know, any way you look at it, the states should be able to set their own terms. If the states want to get together and put together a health care system, you know, that's going to cover everybody, you know, like they have here in Massachusetts, you know, that state will find out what it's like to fail. You know, or maybe with 50 different states trying 50 different programs, maybe one of them's going to come up with one that works. You know, it's a beautiful thing. You know, I mean, that's the way I look at it. You know, I believe that it's far smarter. If you realize that you have got a problem with healthcare, isn't it far smarter to have 50 different states working on 50 different options than it would be to have those options taken away from those states and then put, into one overpowering federal entity that you cannot deal with? No, I'm sorry, but I would much rather go and argue with the bozos down in our state house than the clowns in Washington. Any way you look at it, you know? It's just, it's insane. It's totally insane. You know, there's this whole idea of nationalized healthcare, you know, being able to take, you know, and solve everybody's problems here. Well, of course, this doesn't solve anybody's problems. We know what the hell is going on here. This is just a huge monopoly forming up, you know, getting itself together. This huge monopoly has just gotten the government sanctioned. That's what this vote was all about last night. You know, make no mistake about it. This is not going to be government-instituted health care. This is going to be government-enforced health care. It's going to still be instituted by a few insurance companies that have been left standing. You know, the qualified health benefit providers, do we have any idea what the qualifications are going to be? No. We know some of the rules are going to have to operate under. We're well aware of the fact that they're not going to be able to turn anybody down that approaches them for insurance. You know, even if they can't pay, because if they can't pay, hey, the rest of us are going to be taxed to pay for it. You know, we know that, you know, they're not going to be able to drop you if they have to take care of you. Because even if, you know, even if a major portion of their people all get sick at once and it causes a loss, it doesn't matter. I mean, as long as they have become the qualified health benefit provider, they don't have to worry about losses. You know, those losses are going to be a thing of the past. They're going to be a moot point. They don't have to worry about it because the government will be reimbursing them for any of those losses they incur on a yearly basis. Now, it probably means a reduction in the in the bonuses for some of the big CEOs and whatnot, but that won't mean a damn thing because the big CEOs and whatnot are going to have their paychecks guaranteed by the government. Even if their companies lose money, their paychecks will be guaranteed. And not to worry, somewhere down the line, I'd give it 5 years probably at the earliest, 10 years at the latest, you know, this will be absorbed by the federal government. All these people who are running insurance companies now will be GS-14s and GS-15s and GS-18s making buku bucks, having nothing to do, you know. They're worried all about, you know, or actually, you know, letting all the minions handle it. Let all the GS-4s and the GS-5s and all the bureaucrats on the lower level fight through the trenches for, you know, all the people out there that have, hey, smoked too much and got sick, or drank too much and got sick, or, you know, were riding a motorcycle and fell off, engaged in a dangerous activity, you know, were skydiving and got hurt, you know, scuba diving, you got hurt, playing football, maybe you got hurt, maybe you were playing basketball and you got hurt, what have you. But whatever it is, trust me, folks, this is all about control. I'm here to tell you, this is what's coming down the line. The Democrats are looking at this, telling everybody out there right now, hey, we're all responsible for everybody else. So if you are responsible for everyone else, then you have to be responsible to everyone else, because everyone else is responsible for you. So you've got to act responsibly towards them and not put yourself in a position where you could incur health care costs that are unnecessary. Now, you know, let's face it, we all know that there are going to be diseases coming down the line. Evolution teaches us that there will be new diseases. There will be resistant strains. There will be new viruses making their way in, possibly killing off the population. People will get sick. There will be pandemics. There will be epidemics. There will be this. There will be that. You know, that stuff is going to happen. And of course, if it was not your fault, if you were a victim of whatever it was, well, hey, it's up to the rest of us to make sure you're taken care of. But if it was your fault, then you have willingly placed a burden on all of your fellow men. Now, how could that possibly be tolerated, you know, or tolerated? How could that possibly be tolerated by anyone? Anybody got any ideas on that? Well, I'll tell you what, folks, just stop and think about it for a minute here, where they're going with all this. And like I said, Republicans out there want to get something together for this fall, they had best get to work on it. Because I'm here to tell you, folks, that over the course of this summer, all right, you are going to see all the stops pulled out as far as getting as many people signed into the new health insurance plan as possible. Make no mistake about it. You're going to see ads on the TV to get yourself on there. You're going to see some of these qualified health benefit providers, you know, start advertising how little and how cheap it's going to be for them. Employers are going to be taking a look at these places and saying, hey, this is a whole lot cheaper than what I'm paying. It's going to be a no-brainer to end up going with these people because it is going to be so cheap. We don't have to worry about how cheap it's going to be because the money is coming from the government. That money's already been set aside, folks. Yeah, it's a lovely thing they've got working for us here, isn't it? And a wonderful time to be in America. I'll tell you, I'm so tickled pink, baby. I get such a feeling going up and down my leg, man. It's just, I'll tell you, it's just unbelievable. All right, now, further on out here, I know I'm rambling on, and I got too much stuff to cover, and I'm no way in hell am I going to be able to get through everything here. But, however, out in the world, not too much, gotta admit, not too much came down on Iran this week. The one big story I think that was coming in from overseas, and here it is. Okay, now, this is, the White House said today that it was disappointed that Google could not reach a deal with Beijing after the internet giant announced it was no longer censoring its search engine in China. We are disappointed that Google and the Chinese government were unable to reach an agreement that would allow Google to continue operating its search services in China on its Google.cn website, National Security Council spokesman Mike Hammer said in a statement. Google made its decision based on what it believed was in its interest, he added, noting that the White House respects the search engine's decision, was informed of it before the company made its announcement to the public. President Barack Obama's administration had previously raised its concerns about the matter with the Chinese government, Hammer recalled, stressing that U.S.-China ties were mature enough to sustain differences. The administration is committed to internet freedom and opposed to censorship, he added. While we seek to expand cooperation on issues of mutual interest with China, we will candidly and frankly address areas of disagreement, basically saying nothing. In announcing its decision to stop censoring its search engine in China and redirect mainland Chinese users to an uncensored site in Hong Kong, Google said it intended to continue research and development work in China and maintain a sales presence there. China was quick to criticize the company for being totally wrong and having violated its written promise, according to the state-run Xinhua News Agency, which cited an official in charge of the Internet Bureau, the State Council Information Office. Google's lifting of censorship on Google.cn came a little over 2 months after the Mountain View, California-based company said it had been the victim of cyber attacks originating from China. Now, we knew that was coming down the road there. Chinese were not going to let us sit still after what we did years ago. And the incident that I am referring to here would be the May 5th downing of our spy plane. If you guys will remember, way back when, the Chinese forced one down. We had a problem with one. They ended up forcing one down that flew too close. And it was quite the incident there for a few days. Now, while this was going on, and within hours of it actually happening, American hackers went nuts on Chinese sites. And if you folks were on the Internet back then, I mean, some of them were just insane. The Chinese Department of Education, you opened up their website, and there was a picture of the devil, and the words in fire written over top of it, "Hello, Chinese." It was nuts. And I mean, they had hacked into a lot of Chinese government websites and just totally redid all their pages. They had all kinds of crazy stuff over there. And you knew at some point in time they're going to come back at it. Now, Chinese, of course, were going to censor what's going on over there. But I also think about this. You know, and the one thing I think is going unmentioned here was how much spy activity was actually going on by monitoring what Google does. You know, we know the search engines in this country are monitored. I mean, I firmly believe they are. I know here in Massachusetts, they definitely are. The state police keep an eye on everything. You are looking at kiddie porn on your computer. You are looking for it using a search engine. Trust me, the state police are going to find you, and they're going to find you damn quick. You know, you are engaged in some other illegal activity, might be a little farther, but they are definitely watching what's going on out there. There are certain keywords that you will key into an engine, into a search engine, and trust me, you will be visited by the Massachusetts State Police. Make no mistake about it. You know, you read it in the local papers up here every now and then, baby. They bust somebody for it somewhere. It happens. All right, anything. What's really got to happen now is I got to close the show up here. It's hit that time again once again, folks. I want to thank everybody for coming in here. Once again, the tables are all getting piled high with the chairs. The lights have gone dim. The maitre d' has gone around, cleaned up everything. The waitresses are already gone for the night. I don't know what the hell's going on. They actually blasted out here a little early. Yeah, the cafe was slow tonight, but the bar, as always, will be open. So you can belly up to the bar. First round, as always, is on me. But I want to thank everybody and say, hey, thanks for coming to the Politics Cafe here at www.herncode.com, the best in Internet talk radio. See you next week, folks. Same time, same station.